Standing in front of the floor-length mirror, I glance at my reflection. My long brown hair falls in loose waves just above my shoulders. I pull my fingers through the waves, taming the ends to fall carefully into place, before running my nervous hands down the length of my black dress, willfully brushing away any wrinkles. Taking a deep breath, I close my eyes and try to will my erratic heart into settling down.
"Ready?"
Ted calls to me from the bedroom. "Almost," I answer him and open my eyes. I reach for the diamond tennis bracelet on the vanity and fasten it around my wrist. One last look in the mirror, and I meet Ted in the bedroom where he's been waiting for me. Tall, with dark hair just starting to gray at the temples, Ted is the epitome of striking. Wearing his custom charcoal gray suit, his blue eyes stand out against his tan skin. If he weren't a lawyer, he would be gracing the covers of a men's fashion magazine. He's that beautiful.
"You look stunning," he says with a soft smile. "The cameras are going to eat you up."
I shake my head and blush. That's not what this is about. I want the guilty verdict. I want justice for those families.
"And you'll get it,"
he cuts me off.
"I'm so damn proud of you."
He walks across the wood floor, wrapping himself around me.
"You never cease to amaze me, Francis."
He presses his lips to my temple.
"I was disappointed when you left the firm, but now I understand why you did it. I think I get it. It just fits you."
I smile at his acceptance. "You know that the public sector was where I always wanted to end up." He nods and runs his hands up and down my arms. I lean into him and wrap my arms around his waist. His embrace is where I always find comfort. I will always be grateful for my time at the firm. The experience I received there was immeasurable. And it led me to you. I pull back and stand on my tiptoes to press a kiss to his soft lips. With his arms wrapped tightly around me in return, he releases a long sigh and mumbles against my lips.
"As much as I could stand here and kiss you all morning, we need to get going, or you're going to be late. You look great. Get your nerves in check and walk in with your chin held high."
He releases me. I nod at him with a shaky smile. Ted always knows how to calm me. I grab my purse from the bench at the end of our bed and follow him to the car. The morning is a blur as my stomach twists and turns in the hours leading up to the verdict. I busy myself by reading my closing argument over and over, even though I'd memorized it weeks ago and presented it to the jury 3 days ago. We finally got word late yesterday afternoon that a verdict had been reached. The jury deliberated for 2.5 days, 2.5 of the longest days of my life. How selfish, I think to myself, as I turn around and look at the Morrison and Longmire families sitting behind me. The loss of a child will truly destroy you. I've waited 2.5 days for a verdict, and they've been waiting for 2 years. It took us 2 years to build the case we needed to bring Terry Nelson to trial for the sexual assault and murder of their two beautiful little girls, Sadie Morrison and Eva Longmire. 2 6-year-old girls who were best friends and in the same kindergarten class. 2 little girls who had their entire futures ahead of them, gone at the hands of a vicious predator. 2 families that will never be the same again. Ever. Mr. Longmire nods once at me and offers a tight smile. I've seen him age significantly in these last 2 years, more than a man his age should. His hair is now graying, and his skin is ashen. I've never seen a pair of eyes that hold as much sadness as his. He's worn and tired, but hanging on for his baby girl. Losing a child in the most brutal of ways will do that to a man.